Welcome to Two Girls, One Track, presented by Fast Cars, Fast Girls with Abby and Molly. So here's our first official Monday podcast.
So excited to bring this to you. Just a couple of interviews today.
Yeah, just a couple of interviews, but I'd be shocked if you do not find them very interesting.
They were amazing interviews.
They're amazing. So today is Spotter Day.
Yeah.
We're going to recognize two very cool spotters who were gracious enough to take the time to talk to us.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about their lives, what they do with the track, what they do during the month of May.
Yeah.
So we hope you enjoy it as much as we do. We've got Mike Ford, and he is one of the spotters for Simon Pagenaud. And Patsy White.
Patsy White, she is what's known as a pit lane spotter for, and she works for all of the kind of televised stuff. So she does NBC, ABC. She'll also do IndyCar if they're doing it. So kind of two different spotter jobs, and it's kind of cool to listen to it and compare and contrast.
Like, absolutely.
Please write us an essay.
Yeah. Well, Patsy works with, you know, she'll work with a handful of drivers, whereas, you know, Mike is solely with
one-on-one.
Pagenaud. So just a couple different viewpoints. So please enjoy these interviews as much as we did.
And also, don't forget about our track selfie competition. Please keep tweeting at us your track selfies. Use hashtag track selfie. Tweet at us on Twitter. And again, the two winners both receive a ticket to Carb Day.
So free ticket to Carb Day. And for some extra fun, if you would like to join us in the checkered challenge, don't forget that we are wearing something checkered every single day in May. It can be regular checkered. It can be buffalo check. Of course, on Fridays for hashtag fashion 500 fashion Fridays.
Yes.
We of course insist that it be the traditional black and white check.
It has to be.
You do you. But for us.
But for us, it's got to go.
It's got to be all out on Fridays. So make sure you participate in the hashtag 500 fashion Fridays. It's something really cool that the IMS started doing last year.
Yes.
And if you're in some race attire, there's a ton of restaurants and bars and things downtown and on Main Street and Speedway that will actually give you discounts on Fridays.
Can't
if
be
you
that.
Are in race gear. So one of those is Sun King Brewery, which by now you've seen that we are in charge of dressing up Zaius, the official mascot for Sun King. So when you go in, make sure you take some selfies with Zaius. And if you do, please tag us, because we're
proud
having a great time dressing him up. This is going to be a really fun month of May. So we know that they participate in the 500 Fashion Fridays, and we thought, well, You can't be a participant and have a mascot that's not dressed to the nines.
You just have to. So enjoy the interviews, guys, and we'll be dropping another podcast on Wednesday.
Okay, so here with us today, we are very lucky to have Mike Ford. And if you don't know who he is a very integral part to the number 22 car. So he is a spotter for Simon Pagenaud. Mike, why don't you tell us how you got started in that?
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's one of the questions I get asked the most. I'm still in the sign business full time, the real job, and I am literally at Kelly Racing in year 2000, about 2 weeks before the start of the season. And I'd done the graphics with him a couple of years prior to that, and kind of become friends with Sharp and Robert Perez, the crew chief. And they come up to me, I'll never forget, I'm back here laying decals on the fuel rig, and they come up and they go, "Hey, IndyCar, IRL, let's get it right." IRL goes, "Hey, they're making spotters mandatory. Will you do it?" And I sat there and went, I guess. So 2 weeks later, there I was at the top of the temporary stands at Walt Disney World.
Oh, my God.
That was in 2000.
That's amazing.
So were there, did they just throw you up there with a headset? Like,
that's it.
Make sure he doesn't do anything stupid?
That's after. They know I had a background in racing, from karting and doing some other stuff. So they knew I knew racing. But it was literally the only thing I'd done before that was for a late model race for my buddy out at Raceway Park. That was my experience leading into doing my first IndyCar race.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a really cool story.
Yeah. That is awesome.
It wasn't real cool when I was up top in the temporary stands with the rest of the fans. I'm like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, I was about to say, how did that feel that first time?
No, it wasn't cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was a little nerve-wracking.
It was past nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
You know, the heart coming out of the chest.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I look at that now, and now if I don't get that heart pounding, when they say going green next time by, if I don't get that heart pounding, that's when I quit.
You know what?
So I knew I found my spot.
That's so funny. That's one of the things I tell lawyers. If you don't have that moment, get out.
Absolutely.
And I think that works. It means you're sharp and you're ready to go.
It means you got that passion for it.
The passion. Yep.
Absolutely.
So tell us, just kind of general, us and anybody who are our listeners, I should start saying that, what exactly being a spotter entails?
No, a lot of it, you know, it depends on who you're with.
Okay.
Like, you know, the younger kids, I used to do a lot of the lights and the F2000 and the, I guess the Mazda Rodendi, we'll call it now. It's a lot more of coaching, okay, helping them out. I don't get caught up into a lot of the coaching. Not racing those cars, I don't do that. But I've done it long enough. If I see something wrong, I'll tell them wrong, and I'll let the engineer and the others tell them what they're really doing wrong. But in Simon's case, and it's changed a lot. I've been with Simon since he got into IndyCars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this is my, what, seventh year with Simon. And it's, wow, changed a lot. A lot of it was more motherly, I guess, starting. Because you can see it in these kids' eyes when they, mm-hmm, get in the car for the first couple times. They're scared to death, right?
Sure.
So, but so it was more motherly, instructive, protective, just keeping the car on the track. Now, and then a couple years into that, it was more, let's do this and that. Well, now Simon's a veteran. So now I can literally do what's called spotting, what I'm meant to do, the inside, the outside.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's a transformation. A lot of it just depends on who you're with,
okay,
and when you're with them.
That makes sense. Well, yeah, and we have the headset, so we get to hear, you know, the in-car communication. And I mean, would you notice that with your newer drivers, there's just a lot more talk in general? You know, a lot more, okay, that was good, try this next time, you know, whereas with your experienced drivers, they know when they mess up.
Yeah.
You know, you can say it and they're just going to confirm, yes. You know, they don't need a 3-minute explanation of what they did wrong. They know it.
And it's funny you say that, because Simon's like, I can't believe you saw me off turn two and you knew something was wrong. I go, yeah, it's that obvious. I can tell when you messed up. So I know they're getting a big run on you, so I'm protecting my butt to protect your butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy to see when you mess up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, and talk to me about, I think, the relationship between a spotter and a driver. What is that like?
It's different for everybody again.
Sure.
And this is the neat part, and a lot of people will tell me this, and they've noticed it. I hit the jackpot with a driver. It's a serious sport, so I really don't necessarily like to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but with this cat, he's now my friend first.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean, with him and Haley, they're my friends first, and then I happen to just spot for him. But yeah, again, I can't say enough how lucky I am with him. So we really, I mean, you saw him, we interact more as friends.
Okay.
And now I'm a friend that spots for him.
Okay.
And I've never had that. I mean, I've spotted for Kanaan, and did a little bit for Danica, and I've had a lot of good drivers I've spotted for. But I liked him. Good dudes, spotted for him. But this guy, I knew I was in trouble when I saw him wreck on the exit of turn one in Pocono.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like his older brother. I was like, oh my God, are you okay? And then I was like, ah. I don't know if this relationship's taking a turn for the better or worse, but I was concerned for my little buddy out there that just,
yep,
smacked the wall.
Yeah,
like, well, we're officially not professional anymore.
Right, right, right. So, but with him, it's a great, I don't know how many people have the relationship him and I do. I'm sure there's some,
yeah,
but there's not a lot.
Sure.
Well, but as long as you guys have been together, and I mean, and that's a relationship that you have to trust each other.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so having been together that long, I think just fosters a much better bond.
Agree. And it,
yeah,
makes it easier as you go along, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was about to say, is it easier to just call him on stuff? You're like, hey, buddy, not the greatest?
Absolutely. Not so much anymore. I don't have to as much anymore.
Well, that's true. He's,
yeah,
pretty good. He is,
yeah,
pretty good. I will,
yep,
say that.
Because all I have to do is give him the look.
Ooh,
and go,
nice.
I know, it was turn three. Because his memory is incredible. He can remember something that happened three,
nice,
races ago. And he'll tell you exactly what lap it happened on. And
this one's a lot like that, though.
Good. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, it makes it,
good.
Fun.
Yeah.
Makes it fun.
I can't remember family birthdays, but I can remember racing stuff.
Yeah, that's so, more important,
exactly,
than birthdays.
It is in my family. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So what's... So, like, today. Today was a test day, and it's kind of that similar... It's a little less hours than maybe a race, but what's a day like for you when there's a race, or like today when you were spotting for the test?
No. And I'm north of 50 now, so I do things a little differently, especially for the 500. Today wasn't so bad. These days, like today, are a little more mentally tough because there's people coming on the track and off the track and all that stuff. Sorry. But like for the 500, I will literally especially if it gets hot, I'll start hydrating myself.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned a tough lesson years ago when it was really, really hot. You know, drinking Diet Cokes in the morning and coffee. You don't. So physically, I try to take care of myself, eat the right things a couple of days prior to a race, try to get a good night's sleep, no drink, try to do all the right things.
And think about that. I bet you have to really watch because you guys can't leave.
No.
Right? So you probably, no. Yeah, probably
there's
can't
no
leave.
Bathroom breaks.
Excuse
no.
me, can we no. take a moment? I have to pee.
No, but it used to be easy 15 years ago. But
sure.
Now, you know, you just keep the mind sharp and do all the right things. So
like, how many hours before the race starts are you up there?
I'm usually one of the first ones.
Okay. Yeah.
I've always told them I will never rush in an airport or a racetrack.
Makes sense.
So for like the 500,
plenty of time.
And I spot turn one for two purposes, to help him. I convinced Simon his rookie year that he needed me in turn one. A lot of the other guys go over and think turn three is important. Mm-hmm. I prefer to do the starts and restarts for him over in turn one, since this is the only place we have two spotters. But the real reason is I like to watch the festivities race morning, and I sold him on that idea from day one. So I watched the festivities, so you can that will tell you what time I get up top.
I fully appreciate
I want to see the historic cars rolling out. I want to see it all.
Oh,
so,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm still a fan first. Still
absolutely.
A fan
absolutely.
First.
Absolutely.
Well, I think spotting is one of the few things, because I've had extended family, friends of family that have been yellow shirts and things like that. We have friends that are yellow shirts, and I always thought, yeah, that'd be great, but I want to watch the race too much to do that. You know, if you work in the garages, it's awesome, but you don't get to see anything on the track. If you work out in the stands, you're facing the stands. But I think with being a spotter, you get to still be a fan and do your job.
No, you know, you would think, but you get
so
dialed in
to your driver.
Yeah, yeah, and you kind of lose. Now, the 500, there's enough gap that you can, like, I can still tell you who's first, second, third, fourth, fifth, who's a lap down. But man, I'd give anything. Not yet, but I can't wait to be a fan again for the 500.
Yeah.
To be able to sit back and be a fan and enjoy it.
Just watch every.
Yeah. And hey, take that bathroom break when you want.
I bet you're looking forward to that one. Yeah. Like, oh, I can pee now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you said this is one of the tracks where you have two spotters.
Yes.
So what are the other ones that have two?
I'm trying to think. Not
many.
No, because we don't do all the street and road courses. Mm. So, this is it. Thinking about it now,
we
beginning years at Watkins Glen, we'd put someone in the bus stop and then on the front straight away.
Sure.
But
okay,
yeah, we haven't had to do that, so this is it. Two spotters here.
Nice. So then do you just alternate with the other spotter on the road courses, or how do you guys?
No, it's a couple years ago they got into where they were taking us to all the races, and now that's kind of eased up. Because when you spot a street and road course, you have there's a real good chance it's easier to do something wrong than there is to do something right.
Huh.
Because when you're in an oval, you can get in the flow of the race. You know when engineering is going to talk. But road and street course, you don't know when they're going to chat versus you're going to chat. So there's a lot more chance to screw up in street and road course. So we're veering away a little bit. We're like, I'll go to Mid-Ohio Road America. In Sonoma's an automatic because up the hill, over the hill.
Yeah, definitely.
From the Felipe and power wreck of years ago. But we know our role there. So, but again, just one of us for those now.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, then it gives you the opportunity to be a fan for a few other races.
Yes.
The ones that you're not working.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought I was going to get to be a fan last year at Mid-Ohio. My buddy took a motor home over there, and about a week before, they're like, oh, we're going to have you spot.
So
the night before the race, band playing. Mike has to sit there and be good for it. That's all right.
Somebody's got to drive the golf cart.
Absolutely.
That's what we tell
drive the
dad.
Wheels off of it.
Yeah. Yes, obviously. So besides spotting, you said it sounds like you're a big fan.
Yeah.
Before you started spotting, how many times did you go to the 500?
I've been every year since 1982.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite driver growing up?
AJ Foyt.
Okay. That's a solid answer on this.
Yeah. And I always laugh. I hated Penske in the most respectful way growing up.
I get that, though.
But, you know, the second they joined IndyCar, it took me like 3 hours to figure out why.
Yeah.
It's right in my wheelhouse. How to line scooters up. All the trailer doors in the same alignment, everything. It's military. And just,
That's true.
Know why. It doesn't take you long to be in that garage to know why they're successful.
Yeah, I believe it.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So I know you don't get to watch them as much, but what's your favorite part of the pre-race festivities? hard to choose.
No, no, it's easy for me.
All right.
The taps up into back home again.
Yeah.
If I don't leak a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, chills. I mean, there's nothing that touches that. And I've been all over racetracks, and there's nothing better than leading up to start your engines. Mm-hmm. And then it's work mode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But up to that, it's the best seat in the house, turn on.
Oh, absolutely. It is.
Oh, yeah. That's that nice.
Now, there's just so many cool things that happen before the start of the race here.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yep, but a little side story. Until a couple years ago when they tell you, hey, Ford, turn around. You remember the big eagle they released a couple years ago?
Yes.
From turn one?
Yeah.
I'm standing there, and I always stand at the far corner.
Yeah.
I'm spotted, but I turn around, and there's that thing. Oh, my God. What an experience, though, to see that thing take off. So, again, just another cool
They're
little...
huge.
They're
Don't
don't realize how big they are until you see one in person.
You'll see them flap their wings.
Yeah,
man,
that wingspan
is crazy.
And then you feel
it's bigger than mine, I'll tell you that.
And then they pop the goggles off, and that thing just sits here and just looks at everybody like...
Like, hey, I'm the head prey right here. You all are below me in the food chain.
Just really neat sitting up here. So, great question. Thanks for asking.
Well,
that's one of my faves.
Good. That's really cool.
That's a good moment.
Yeah.
It's one of the few moments that morning that other than hearing the trumpet player, it's almost completely silent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's one of the few moments that morning that it's everybody is just silent.
Yep.
Maybe they get quiet in the snake pit. They might not know what the snake pit is.
I don't think they know.
I don't think they know either.
Yeah. I don't really count them with the rest of us. So where's home base for you?
Born, raised in Greenwood, Indiana.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind then. All right.
So I don't have to veer far.
That's
you
not bad.
To hear it.
No.
That's even better. So, so you said you've been coming every year since '82.
Yep.
Your family. I know you said your mom and dad come. Are they the ones who got you interested in the Indy 500?
I was doomed from day one.
Okay.
My mother, dad said I pissed him off when I first come around. He had buddies in town for qualifications in 1965, so I decided to come May 15th of 1965, first day qualifications, and run it right off the bat.
You wanted to go to qualifications.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm picking up.
And they used to drag us around to racetracks all the time, so I blame them for all of this. It is squarely their fault that I'm into racing.
I like that.
Solid argument.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So, well, that's excellent. Do you have other family members that come as well, or...?
Absolutely, yeah. My oldest sister lives in North Carolina, and she travels with ARCA half the season. So she used to work with ASA, so she's still in racing. My other sister definitely shows up. It's a big family day, carb day, and they watch. They always know what's going on.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we were sending pictures today, my sister did. I posted from turn one. She posted from the lake. Down by Lake Norman, and my sister's in Florida, and they threw out there, like, who's got the best view for today?
Yeah.
So that was the vote. So they're always wanting to know what's going on in the race.
Definitely.
I mean, how practice goes.
That's nice.
That's
really nice and supportive.
It is.
So what's the favorite story you could tell us about spotting you've had?
Oh, probably the first one that my favorite, a real racing story, was down in Texas, that first real, 2001, something like that, when it was like the first real pack race ever.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
None of us knew what was going on. Nobody had ever, like, spotted three wide, on a run. And we were lucky enough to hold on, was it Robbie McGeehee in the Treadway car, and the one that was sharp. But I literally, after that race, I thought, why am I sweating spotting? But it was one of the coolest things I've ever got to do, and I didn't know what was right or wrong.
Yeah.
But there was no better way to learn spotting than the old pack days. But that one right there.
Trial by fire?
Yep. And then Mr. Sharp gave me my other worst moment, but most impactful, when we wadded it up and turn one, lap one on the pole. That's my other favorite story.
Yeah.
That Texas one always shines, because that was my first IndyCar racing to win it like that.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. That's really cool.
That is. Tell some of the behind the scenes. So obviously you're you know, you're good friends with Pagano. Do you interact with many of the other Penske drivers? Is it?
No, not really,
because the kind of, I mean, you guys have a lot of members on each team, so yeah, I imagine that it's a lot of business, and that people want to kind of go home and relax.
No, it is. It is. And the last thing, at that point, it's their job. It's no different than all of us.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, they're still racing.
Yeah.
They love racing or they wouldn't be here, but, you know, you don't want to leave your job and talk
racing.
Well,
same with the rest of us. Like, yeah, we all love what we do, but if I hit the lottery, you know, I'll be at all the races as a fan.
Absolutely.
Be calling into my real job.
Yeah.
I'm out. Yeah. Bye. It's been fun.
Absolutely. So, well, I'm sorry, what was your question?
Oh, just so kind of the dynamic between, I say, just within the team. I say, does everybody?
The cool thing about being with Penske, these guys want to beat the teammate worse, and that's what creates the competition.
That's interesting.
They work together fantastically.
Sure.
Engineering side. But, man, when it's on the track, you want to beat your teammate.
Almost like a sibling rivalry.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And St. Louis is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Simon was like, I never thought he would do that. But you got a hungry kid trying to win a championship. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
And it's a
lot. If I'd have been your mom, I'd have told him, but I'm surprised he didn't expect that.
Fair. Mom didn't see it that way. Mom was.
Oh, I'm sure mom was.
Why? Mm-hmm. What's he doing and what's he doing?
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. But it's like, what? It's nice how she put it. Why he did this and why he did this. So,
but that was.
I do enjoy the intercompetition. It just brings the level of the game up.
So absolutely. Well, and especially with as much of a powerhouse team as Penske is, you know, that you don't. I mean, because it's cliche, but you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Absolutely.
But you have a very strong team, so to have that competition amongst one another, I think definitely makes them all superior drivers.
Yeah. Well, who do you think is going to win the 500?
Well, I know who I want to. I know who I want to win.
Yeah.
We'll say a Penske driver. How's that?
No, you could say Simon. We're not.
Well, of course, that's an obvious.
Yeah.
Another. I call myself. I've won IndyCar Championship, Lights Championship, 3 24-hour Daytonas.
Oh, nice.
Tons of races. I've never won Indy.
Oh, you need to win Indy now.
Well, of course, this is my 19th year.
Oh.
I actually refer to myself as the Lloyd Ruby of spotters.
Oh.
I will run good, but it is time.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
I just want this. And everybody asks, and it's not for me anymore. We're going to go back to my mom and dad again. I want nothing more. Before it was all about me winning.
Sure.
But now I want nothing more to grab them out there on the front straightaway the day after with a picture. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I've never been on the track. The only time I've walked on the track is when I get off the spotter stand and cut across by the pit wall. Mm-hmm. I've never been on the yard of bricks. Mm-hmm. I've never touched the Borg Warner. I haven't done any of that. And I've told myself, I will not do it unless I win.
I get that. Yeah. I get that. It makes it special.
So.
Yeah.
Well, just once. I don't need four.
Yeah.
That's greedy.
Like, I'm just asking for one.
Just one. That's not too much to ask for. Yeah.
Just one.
Okay, so since your family comes in and all that, any fun? I know that you have to play nicely the night before the race, but are there any fun family traditions in addition to the tailgating?
Oh, carb day wraps it. That is the best, especially when I go to my parents' house carb morning, make sure they're ready to go. My sister will drive down, and I make sure everybody. And last year, they come bouncing out in their Simon Pagenaud T-shirts.
Oh, nice.
Like 20-year-olds, man, and that, there's nothing better than that.
That's
but
awesome.
By the time I get done with practice, and that's why I quit spotting lights, because I just want to go spend that time with my family. And you go down there, and my mom, you gotta do this. I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay.
Because my mom will kill me. She will kill me for this, and I hope she does.
Oh, hey, I'll keep it in.
So the first year with the Jello shots.
Yeah.
So I didn't know they had them.
Oh, God.
It's a newer tradition. So I go down there, and my mom fixes these aluminum foil. Hot dogs are all wrapped up in aluminum foil, and they're great. And she always gets me something to eat when I show up. That's our deal.
Mm-hmm.
And open up the truck, and I look at her and go, Mom, what'd you do to your finger? I go, did you smash it? And she giggled. She'd already stained it from Jello shot. That's when I knew we had us a great tradition.
Yeah, that's definitely a great tradition.
That's fantastic. So. We have a men's versus women's flip cup championship on Saturday night.
Nice.
And my mom has been the MVP every year that she's played.
She really is, though.
Awesome.
Yeah. She awesome. So yeah. I love good family traditions with moms.
Yeah, yeah. But the best.
Go to eat the night of the race, and then I love going back and listening. I'll chill out. I love going back and listening to the old radio broadcasts of the old 500.
Those are nice.
Hit the parade if it works. I love the parade.
Yeah.
So, and then get in here early.
Yeah, get
I
you
love,
good spot.
I love to be here early.
Well, you can enjoy the morning before work starts.
Absolutely.
Get a good rest in. Well, not a rest. But.
No, I'll get it. It's, you know, when that alarm goes off at 4, man.
Yeah.
It's ready to go.
Ready to go.
I've been there. I get that.
Yeah. So,
all right. Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
So real quick, you guys, did you guys go to Daytona, too?
Yeah.
The 24?
Yeah. We went to the 24.
Was that your first time?
That was our last.
Did you like it?
Oh, we had a blast.
No, I tell everybody, that is my second favorite race. I've done it. I've done the 24 14 years.
Whoa.
I love the 24.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot of fun. It's a lot your first time.
No, it is.
Yeah, it is. Well, and we went into it knowing that there was gonna be a learning curve. So
yeah.
We think that we figured we're like, okay, like after we left, I was like, okay, here are the things that we can do better. You know, and then I left. I said it's not that I didn't have a great time. I mean, we had a blast. It was just okay, now we have the gist of it. Okay, so now we can
figure it out.
Figure it out.
If you guys go again, make sure you hit it's called the garlic.
Okay.
Smear in a beach. Do you like Italian?
Yeah.
It's the coolest vibe, coolest restaurant.
Okay. The garlic.
Yeah,
I'm
into it.
I'm already there. Somebody told us about that when we were down there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It might be one other thing. One of my favorite 24. This would be a good story. Bucket list.
Okay.
I'm at the 24 this year, spotting Penske, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I hear the voice come over the radio. Got to check off a bucket list. Roger Penske from the timing stand. That was cool.
Wow.
So that was a good bucket list after
18,
19 years of having Penske on your radio. So I won't lie. I actually sat there and kind of smiled. That's RP on the other end.
Yeah.
Because I haven't got, I've heard him over the management channel, but I haven't actually got to listen to him on mine. So,
yeah.
That's really cool.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was
cool.
That is very
That's
cool.
That's awesome.
All right, girls, I'll sit here and talk your ear off.
We are very thankful. Patsy White, who's a pit spotter, has taken time out of her really, really busy schedule right now to let us ask her some questions. So, Patsy, thank you so much for letting us do this, especially with you having to wake up early tomorrow.
No problem. I appreciate it.
So, first question right off the bat, could you kind of just explain to everybody what a pit spotter is and what do you guys do?
Well, a pit spotter is actually the right arm for the announcer in the pit lane. We set up all of their interviews with the drivers, through the PR reps.
Sure.
The PR reps are our main go-to. Then during the race, we're listening to, there'll be three of us in the pits. Mm-hmm. If there's three announcers, there's three spotters. So you have a set of drivers that you're assigned to. So I'm listening on the scanner to all of the talk from the driver to the strategist.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I can tell the announcer what I'm hearing and they know what to say on the air.
Oh.
Or if a driver is having a problem or if he's getting ready to come in for a pit, then I can let the producer know to get the camera there so that we can cover that pit stop.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot of action. Absolutely. And I hadn't even thought about how much interaction you'd have with all the different media professionals and all of that, but that makes perfect sense since you're right there in the pits. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The PR reps are our right hand.
Mm-hmm.
They keep us honest. The drivers, there's a few of them that, they do their thing.
Sure.
But it's fun.
We won't ask you to name names. Don't worry.
No.
Not on the air.
No.
And how long have you been doing this?
Well, this Indy 500 will be my 22nd Indy 500.
Wow.
So a long time.
And of course, you started when you were 5, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I've never dyed my hair. No, my husband is a fabricator involved in racing, and we've been together for ever.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of hanging around racetracks, and somebody asked me if I wanted a job, and I said, well, I guess I could.
Yeah.
So I did, 22 years later.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Is there any sort of training that they kind of make you go through to become a pit spotter?
No, there's no training. You have to know racing terminology.
Sure.
So that when you're listening on a scanner, you'll know what's important. You know, some drivers just they talk a lot. And some of the stuff that they're saying is it's not important to the show.
Yeah.
So we're not going to report that. So you have to know that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have diplomacy to know how to interact with the drivers and the PR reps and the other media.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there is no, you got to like racing.
I feel like that's a pretty good
one. That was easy. Well, yeah.
So we had kind of talked beforehand. So you're getting ready to head out to Long Beach. So kind of just looking at as Long Beach as an example for the next couple of questions, is there prep work involved before you kind of step onto the pit lanes?
Yes, I make my own pit chart. The league sends out a pit chart so that you know the order that the drivers are in. And then I make a pit chart up myself, and I will list the engineer and the strategist next to each driver's name.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have three little columns that I will put where the driver finished or where the driver is at in points.
Yeah.
Where they're at in the points. The next column will be where they finished at the last race, where they started and finished.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third column is where they started and finished at Long Beach last year.
Oh.
So those are things that the announcer can look at real quick and be able to judge, you know, how they did last year, how they did last week.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
That sounds kind of odd. You're a woman after my own heart. That's exactly what I do.
Yeah, there's reading about 10 million press releases that come out.
Yeah.
Which are lots of information.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's mostly just laundry and packing a bag.
And making sure you get up for that flight.
This was a short week for that, so.
Yeah. Now, are you tied to a specific, what network, or do you kind of just handle it for all?
Well, no, I'm freelance, so I work all the IndyCar. I only do IndyCar, so I do all the IndyCar races. I work with ESPN and NBC.
Okay.
And I started with ABC, ESPN, you know, 22 years ago. So when NBC came on board, you know, they picked me up as well, so...
Yeah.
No, I'm assigned to a specific announcer at a race.
Sure.
But as far as the networks go, it's IndyCar for me. It has nothing to do with the network that it's on.
Okay. Well, that's that's good to know with everything changing. So hopefully you get to stay on, sounds like.
As far as I know.
Good.
Nobody's told me different.
And that's how you keep going.
Yes. I need a few more years.
I think so. Oh, plenty more years. Plenty more years.
Yeah.
IndyCar
just keeps getting more and more exciting. So.
Yeah, you definitely have to stay.
Yes, it is. I mean, we've got a field of talented drivers that is so deep this year. And personalities.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we've had this many personalities that kid together, joke together. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the Penske drivers, Joe New and Pagano doing their autograph contest.
Yeah, they crack.
And, you know, Rossi and Hinch doing their little thing. So it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun people out there.
I bet it's just I know that it's really serious and intense, but I bet are there moments of like kind of levity and fun? Maybe after the race, it gets a little bit more relaxed for everybody.
Unfortunately, not a lot in our world because we're usually rushing up to an airport.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
darn. Yeah.
You know, by the time we get the show done. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's early enough, we take a flight home Sunday night.
Yeah. Okay.
I can understand that. If it's not early enough, then there's time where the whole crew meets back up at the bar at the hotel.
Okay. And now, if you could kind of, and I know every race, every race day, even at the same track, is going to be different from year to year, but what is it like a typical race day for you?
Typical race day?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, that would be, we're going to get in there early.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a road course, you're going to have a warm-up.
Okay.
So we will go down and monitor the warm-up. Listen for the drivers, anybody that's having any problems or any setup issues. And then we usually will have a meeting,
uh-huh.
a little production meeting, to where we all finalize what's going to happen for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the race itself is not choreographed. It's the pre-shows.
Sure.
You know, when you have a pre-show, we've got a format for that. So we have our interviews are set up to the minute,
yep.
to the second. And then it's time for the green flag. Once the green flag drops,
yeah,
you can't judge what's going to happen.
Sure. So, okay.
And then long post shows.
Yeah.
Last at Phoenix, we had a long post show. So that's a scramble for us because we're trying to keep drivers around long enough so that we can have enough to interview.
Sure.
And if it gets too long, some of them want to go home. So you really gotta massage them a little bit to say, please, please stay.
So, I mean, I can understand wanting to go.
Yeah, especially after a long weekend and at the very end of it, wanting to get out of there. So.
Right, they don't want to stick around just because we've got 30 minutes to fill. But come on, please.
That's where that diplomacy kicks in, isn't it?
Yes, it does.
So, having done this for some time, although you're still very young, do you have maybe a couple of favorite moments that really stand out to you? It's hard to ask people this question because every moment is favorite, but...
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I mean, the year that Dan Weldon worked with us.
Yeah.
That was special. That boy came in, and you would have thought that he had been working TV forever. Yeah. He had suggestions. He's the one that started the Robin Miller grid run. It was Dan and Robin for the first one.
Oh.
But Dan came up with that idea.
I didn't know that.
He was serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he wanted to make sure everything was done right.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a lot of fun. I mean, there's so many special moments.
Sure.
You know, so many indies that you're chasing after somebody. And
definitely.
So it's hard to really pinpoint one.
No, I get that. That's actually a hard question for people to answer because I think everybody just vests so much in this sport that even casual fans can't pick out a favorite moment. It's every moment. So. Yeah.
Now, were you a pretty big IndyCar fan before you got into spotting?
Not really. Well, okay. When I met my husband, I didn't know anything about racing. Never. I moved to California, to San Diego, many, many, many years ago. My husband was just coming back from England because he was doing Formula 2 racing.
Oh.
He builds cars.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I met him through his sister. And I think I listened to my first Indy 500 on the radio when I lived in San Diego. And then I started watching racing so that I could see him on TV. You know, the first several years, it was just him traveling, and we would have all of our girl parties, and all the wives would get together, and we would watch the races. And then I really got into it.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
That's great.
Now, this is the question that always gets us in trouble when we ask, do you have an overall favorite driver? And so it doesn't have to be currently one who's driving right now, but, like, from when you started watching until now, or even before.
my overall favorite was Greg Moore.
Ah, okay. Nice.
And that goes back a long time. And makes me get a little bit sentimental.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. No.
And I love Tony Kanaan.
Oh, well.
He's just a sweetheart.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't love Tony Kanaan.
No. I mean, I've worked with Tony's wife, Lauren, when she was just a teenager working in television. So I knew Lauren before I really knew Tony. But they're such great people.
Oh, aren't they?
They really are.
They are.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my favorite Indy 500s was the year that Tony Kanaan won. Because when he took the lead, I mean, I don't know that I have ever heard the place erupt like that. It was just unreal. It's like, you know, I'm sure there are people who have other favorite drivers, but it felt like there was nobody who was disappointed in a Tony Kanaan win.
No, you're right. Everybody, even the other drivers, were happy for it. That was good.
Yeah, definitely. So let's see. Sorry, I'm ticking off things and Ab's used to me.
That's all right.
Taking off questions.
All right. So so your first Indy 500, you listened on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously now you have more responsibility since you have to work that day, but are there any, Indy 500 race weekend traditions that you have?
Actual Indy 500 weekend, I'm pulled between two different networks because I work for NBC doing the Carb Day show, which means I'm staying at their hotel on the north end of town. And then on Friday, I switch my hats and I go to ESPN or ABC.
Yeah.
And I have to move downtown to a new hotel, to a new announcer. So I'm busy. I'm just busy trying to keep myself together.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And then we leave as soon as the race is over. They take us out with a police escort to the airport.
Wow.
We're on a plane.
So you get right out as fast as you can. So then I say, would your Memorial Day tradition be just sleeping for about 18 and a half hours?
Just about.
Just trying to catch up.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that's excellent. Now, I apologize if you already said this. Does your husband travel with you now?
No, he doesn't. He's traveling. We both used, well, for a while there, when the split happened with IndyCar or with CART and IRL.
Yeah.
He was on a CART team, and I was working IRL. So, which didn't matter. But we were,
I mean, the Romeo and Juliet of the racing world, basically.
Yeah, I think that's what we just found right here.
I mean, we were passing in the night sometimes because he would be, if I had a weekend off, he had a race.
Mm.
If he had a weekend off, I had a race. So, but we spent a lot of times that we only saw each other on Tuesday and Wednesdays. In fact, we met up in an airport one time. back to where, you don't bother telling people where you're staying or what your flight is because you got cell phones. If they need to find you, they just call you on your cell phone.
Yeah.
And we were living in Lansing, Michigan at the time, and we were both coming home from a race. He was coming from a CART race. I was coming from an IRL race. And we connected in the Detroit airport and had the same flight home, and we didn't have a clue.
So that's funny. That is hilarious. Yeah, I think that's pretty much the definition of two ships passing in the night.
Well, that's pretty much the epitome of that phrase. Yeah, there was one time in Texas where we were both there. It was the IRL. He had moved. He was with Kelly Racing in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And we were staying in two different hotels because I stayed where the network put me. He stayed where the team put him. And we spent the whole weekend, we never physically saw each other. We talked on the phone a couple of times, so we weren't the same track. But we were both busy. We never even ran into each other. So,
That is pretty wild.
It's a busy time.
What is the most unusual or craziest thing you've seen a fan do trying to talk to a driver or get their attention or anything while you're standing on pit lane? I can only imagine that you have seen hundreds of very funny things.
Oh, gosh, I have, but I mean, if you go back to the early days,
yeah,
you know, girls could do a lot of things like flashing drivers.
Yeah, nudity was involved.
Yes.
Nudity was involved.
Yeah, but I can't really even think of anything right now.
Well, nudity is kind of a big deal, so.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Wow.
I mean, that's part of the tradition of the Indy 500.
Oh, yes. Back to the snake pit.
It is. Well, and that tradition is still alive and well on Georgetown Saturday night before the race. So.
Yeah. Oh, we did get escorted by the police one year. We decided to stay at the track on Saturday night, and we just slept in the transporter in the bed in the truck.
Yeah.
So we were all, there's a bunch of us partying, and we got the golf carts out, and we went on the golf course, and we were having golf cart races.
I will say for the record, they didn't start hiding the keys to those golf carts until after my sister's wedding reception 2014. You would think that they would have learned.
And there's a reason for that. They should. Well, but we were on the golf course, and it's muddy, it's wet, and there was a little bit of alcohol involved. And we came over a mogul on the golf course, and there was a bank of police cars there. I was like, oh, my God. So they escorted us back to the garage area, and they told us to stay inside the fence. That was before I was working. I was still just a race wife in those days, so that was okay. I wasn't going to have to wake up early and go to work.
That's hilarious.
A police escort of a different kind that year.
Yes.
I love that. I mean, that's just the attitude of all the police that weekend. If it's not a major crime, they're not that concerned. It's just,
no.
Okay, we're going to take you back. Stay where you're supposed to stay.
Stay in there and stay safe. Yes, yeah. That was it.
Please,
you can get as drunk as you want, but in this area.
Absolutely.
That is too funny.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I can't.
What's your favorite part of the day of the Indy 500 as far as, you know, kind of the pre-race pageantry stuff, you know, or leading up, ladies and gentlemen, start your engines, you know, or is it, you know, during the race, is there, you know, or if you could narrow it down to, you know, top three or top five moments of the day that are just, you know.
To tell you the truth, my favorite part is when the pre-show is over and I get to tear up that pre-show format, because the Indy 500 pre-show is an hour long. And it is chaotic, totally chaotic. You know, we can't find drivers sometimes. You know, they're supposed to be there at a certain time, and we're live. So when that pre-show is over and it's ready to go racing, then I can take a breath.
Yeah.
So, but it's... I love the pomp and circumstance. I love listening to... you know, the Back Home Again in Indiana, all of that. But I'm usually running up and down pit lane when that's happening, mm-hmm. still trying to find the driver that's set up for my next interview. I always apologize when I'm running up and down pit lane during the anthem that I'm not standing in one spot with my hat off and my hand over my heart because I'm still trying to find the driver.
Yeah, Mix, I get that. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just trying to do my job.
That's right. That's right. I put my head down a little bit so they know I really need it.
You're giving me, a little anxiety here. I can just imagine, like, we've lost the driver. I'm like, nope, can't lose him.
We did lose Simona one year. As soon as they get introduced, they go down on the yard of bricks and they get that photo taken.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to interview Simona right after that. Well, the tradition for the drivers is as soon as that photo's taken, they all run to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be their last stop. Well, we take off running after them. Well, we don't know where the ladies' bathroom is. So we almost lost her. I got producers yelling in my ear, "Are you even looking for her?" I said, "I'm everywhere." But we found her, and it worked. But those are the times that they're some of the times the drivers are walking into the interview with 1 second to go.
Oh wow!
And wow, they're fine with it, and I'm sweating bullets.
Sure. Well, yeah. So. Yeah, no, that would definitely be nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. We've lost the driver. I'd lose my mind.
So, I feel like we've discussed, you know, a lot of the different aspects of your job. Was there anything else about your job, you know, as you got comfortable with it, that was something that you didn't expect would be a part of, you know, your responsibilities and your role?
When I first started, the first year that I ever did this, they had a trailer in the TV compound, and they put like 5 or 6 girls, people, not always girls, and we listened to scanners, and we would relay the information to the pit lane.
Okay.
And the next year, when I came back, when I started it full time, my pit producer asked me how I would feel about working in the pits. And I said, well, I suppose I could do it. And I did, and I've worked every race since then. We had a pit coordinator in the early days. So he did a lot of the legwork. And when he left, it started coming down to the spotters to set up the interviews. A lot of it is just keeping your ear to the ground too. You know, if you hear something,
yeah,
you know, you got to follow up and find out what's going on.
Absolutely, because I mean, there's so much that's happening that yeah. There could be a really good news, you know, a really good scoop on something.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, there's nothing that really surprised me. It's almost like traveling with a family circus.
Mm.
You know, when we get together for the first race, it's all the family get back together. Because most of the people, we've worked together for years.
Yeah.
Huh. So we know each other very well, and we know how to deal with each other.
That's a really good analogy. I like that. A family circus.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
My husband always said it was like being in a rock and roll band. You're just going to go, and you're going to put on a concert, and you're going to leak out. So.
I'm sure there are a lot of similarities with that, with doing that with musicians. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
What are some of your favorite racetracks to go to?
Favorite racetracks? Well, Indy, obviously.
Naturally.
I love Barber.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so pretty. Long Beach, I like for the, it's so easy because we stay at the Hyatt right in the middle of the track.
Ah.
So if you don't need a car, you walk to work.
Yep.
I love Phoenix when it came back on because that was a race that I would go to with my husband as a fan before I started actually working. So I got a lot of them I like.
Yeah, I really enjoy Phoenix as well. Molly and I have discussed via text this week, you know, that there's been some complaints about Phoenix and that, you know, it just doesn't put on a great show. And we completely disagree.
Yeah.
I think the race last weekend was exciting every second of it.
Yeah.
You know, there may not have been passes for the lead every single lap, but there were passes happening throughout the field every single lap. There was so much movement. I agree with you. I love Phoenix.
It just doesn't bring the people in, and I don't understand why.
Well, I'll tell you why.
It wasn't.
And I, I say that part of it is that it's competing with a lot of other things in that area. The NHRA has stuff going on in Vegas that weekend, the four-wide nationals. And also in Arizona that weekend is Country Thunder, which is like a four-day country music festival. And people come to camp and bring RVs and all of that. And so when you have a big festival, I mean, and they have big name country artists. It's not just, you know, local people. They have big names that come to that. So when you're in the Southwest and you have a huge country music festival, an IndyCar race is going to have a really hard time competing with that.
That's true.
So to me, I think that if they did it on a different weekend, that they would actually have more fans. Because Molly and I looked into going this past year because I have family on Phoenix, and I was like, oh, this is perfect. We can stay with them for free. They've got an RV. They'll probably come to the race with us. We can all camp out. You know, we'll have a great time. And they were like, oh, sorry, we're out of town. You can stay at our house, but we'll be at Country Thunder. And they're IndyCar fans.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, that explains that. But,
yeah.
You know, I was just so glad when they put it back on the schedule.
Sure.
You know, like Portland, I'm really excited to go to Portland.
I'm so excited for Portland. So excited.
That's a track that I have never attended a race at. Because when it came off the schedule, it was... I think CART was still going there, but the IRL never went there.
Yeah, it was a CART track, so it's going to be fun this year, I think. Well, yeah. I know. I think it's going to be great. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. And I think there's a special kind of energy when a track comes back on the schedule after a hiatus.
Oh, like St. Louis last year.
Oh, it was amazing last year at St. Louis, yeah.
It was. Were you there?
I was. I went to St. Louis last year, yeah. It was insane.
Yeah, I mean... There was so many people there. You would have thought it was almost like the Indy 500.
It was,
you know,
full.
Trying to,
yeah.
Which is great. Yeah. But they did a lot of marketing, too.
They did. They do it
that's
right
important.
There. Yeah.
It is. No, and they've already started for this year, and, yeah, they've done an excellent job, except that they had to move the testing because of weather. I loved that the president of their track was going to be at the IMS selling tickets to the bar.
I saw that. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that is awesome.
That's somebody that's passionate about his track, you know, and, you know, do some marketing. If you're not going to get out there and try and sell it, then don't complain when people don't come.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think we've entered a new generation, and with as long as you've been spotting, I mean, you might have you'll definitely have a better feel of whether this is true or not, but I feel like more tracks now have presidents that are extremely personable, are very good promoters, and go out of their way to inject themselves into the public. You know, Doug Bowles, Chip down at Daytona, we were lucky enough to meet him during the Rolex 24, and he's very similar to Doug, and is very active in promoting and being involved with the fans and the crowd, and yeah, Gateway's the same way.
Yeah, that's what they need.
Yeah.
You know, that is.
You can't just sit back and hope people come.
Yeah.
You gotta entice them.
Yep.
And the racing's enough to entice them, but you gotta bring new fans in.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. So I think we're in a good place. I feel like we're on the upswing.
Well, I do too. I think we're on the upswing. More people are watching. I think it's going to be good to get it all on one network.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to wonder what channel to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked for both networks, so I'm not saying I would have still had a job either way.
Sure.
It went.
Yeah. Well, and either way they went, I just think that it makes more sense to have one network because then you have better promotion.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a network does not necessarily want to promote something that's on another network,
right.
Even if it's the same series. So, yeah, I think one network is gonna be another good step in the right direction for IndyCar. I feel like there's been a lot of positive changes that we've been making as a sport. So let's see, what is one of your funniest interview moments with a driver? Or who's one of your favorite drivers to interview? I know you talked about how much you love Tony Kanaan. I'm sure that he's awesome to work with. You know, is there anybody else that just is?
Oh, Hinch is always fun. You know, he's always gonna crack something up.
I'm sure he's such a great guy.
I can't even remember some of them, but I know that there's been a lot of times when another driver would come up and inject themselves into the interview. And
that's great.
You know, that's always fun. And there's a lot of them that do that.
Sure.
They're all just fun to be. They're all fun to work with.
Yeah. They just seem like a good group of guys and ladies for the 500.
Yeah, they really do. Well, like you said, I mean, we do have a lot of personalities in IndyCar right now. And I know that's one of the things that NASCAR has been concerned about with Dale Jr. retiring last year is that, you know, the perception was that other than Dale Jr., they didn't have that many, you know, big personalities like they used to have that would always draw in fans. And I feel like IndyCar is completely the opposite. We just keep getting more and more drivers who have awesome, fun personalities, interact with fans,
Things
on social media.
Yeah, I mean, there's like Robert Wickens. Nobody knows who he is, but they're going to know who he is before half of this season's over.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you get him and his together, and they're just, they're a riot.
I bet.
We actually, we call them, they're Team Canada, but we call them Team Canada. We also call them Team BFF. Because they've been great friends for years, and it's just, I love watching them interact even on TV.
Yeah.
And like you said, so many of them that are on social media, and I think that's important.
Yeah, definitely.
To engage the fans.
It really is, especially in this day and age, and to engage new fans. You know, because they're fans who either don't care about social media or, you know, are on it some but aren't that invested in it. That age group is your established fans. They've already been watching IndyCar, and they're going to keep watching IndyCar until the day they die. To really engage this younger generation of millennials and Gen Z, or whatever they're called.
We all try real hard in the networks to retweet and to make sure that we're sending out when the race is going to be on and what time. And I mean, I put out something on Facebook yesterday, you know, to all of my followers and said, you know, even if you've never watched an IndyCar race, just watch one.
Right?
Just watch one,
just
and you'll
watch
be hooked.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah.
And I've taken a lot of people to races that have never, you know, family and friends. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to get you in there, and I'm going to let you see what I do. And then they become fans.
Yeah.
So, and that's what we have to do to build the sport.
Absolutely.
Agreed. Well, I think that, I mean, IndyCar and NBC Sports and ABC, I mean, have done a stellar job of promoting things, especially on social media. I think that, I mean, we started off the season strong, and I love how interactive and how involved the network social media and the series social media is with, you know, just everyday fans, because, It's just great to see. It's almost like we're just a big family.
Yeah, definitely.
We all just want to see good racing.
Absolutely. And we want to see it continuing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, so your weekend for the 500 is super packed. Do you ever come back to Indianapolis? Well, you're here for the GP as well. So are you here most of the month of May?
No, I come and go. I fly in and out for 3 weekends.
Wow.
I have occasionally I've stayed over, and then I find that I'm in a hotel room and I'm bored, so I might as well go home and sleep in my own bed and do laundry.
Well, if you ever want to stay over again, so you just let Molly and I know, we will happily entertain you in and around Indianapolis. We will make sure you are not bored. We will show you all the fun places to go to.
I lived in Indy from like 94 to... for about 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. That range. So.
So you're pretty familiar with Indy.
Yeah.
I lived out on the north end, Michigan Road and 79th Street area.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we moved on. We've lived, like I say, I've been with, well, now I'm going to age myself. I've been with my husband since 1975.
Aww.
And he has done Formula One,
IMSA, NASCAR, IndyCar. He's done every form of racing except drag racing.
Oh.
That is awesome.
Wow.
So you finding an interest in racing was pretty much a requirement for that marriage. was it actually in the vows, or was it just implicitly?
No, because he's not a race fan.
Really?
He's not a race fan. He's more of the artist that builds the cars. He's a fabricator, so he's building things, and then he does the carbon. He's a carbon specialist.
Oh,
so
very cool.
To actually sit and watch a race, he doesn't want to.
That is too funny.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I would. Well, when he was doing Formula One, he was with Emerson Fittipaldi. We lived in England for a couple of years. And
cool.
While he was off racing, I got a job in a pub and I had a ball. So.
Oh, I bet you did. You know, I was a server for a couple of years, and there's just something fun about working in a bar.
I have never done bar work in my life, and when we went into this pub, this was my husband's local pub, because he went over to England before I did, so he was introducing me,
mm-hmm.
and they needed to hire a barmaid, and I was supposed to go for an interview. Well, we were renting a room at the time with a family. The mother in that family worked in the bar serving lunches. So I'm supposed to go for an interview, and I've never done bar work. I was scared to death. And I've never lived in England, and I was young. So I didn't go to the interview. I just didn't show up. So she comes home from work that day, and she goes, "Hey, you got the job." And I said, "What do you mean I got the job? I didn't even go for the interview." She goes, "That's okay. You start tomorrow." Oh, my God. So I did, and I served up an awful lot of wrong drinks for the first week because I couldn't understand them. They called me their crazy little Yankee, and they all loved me, so life was good.
There you go.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Okay.
That is great.
So it's been an interesting life.
It has been. It has been, and we're very, very thankful that you let us kind of ask you questions. I know you have an early, early morning tomorrow, so we're going to kind of wrap it up.
I appreciate that. I'm ready to get to Long Beach, and I appreciate you asking me to be on your show.
Well, have a safe
You're very
flight,
welcome.
Have a safe flight out
right.
to Long Beach.
All right. Well, thanks for listening again. We hope you enjoy those interviews as much as we did. See you on Wednesday.
Bye.